for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Memorial Day Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday afternoon, May the 25th, 2014. Kyle Knees is the speaker of this service, teaching on A Place of Prayer.
Kyle Knees, would you please come? I'm so grateful that you did. You did get this. All of you.
You know, I had, and I just felt this to be something that would refresh and encourage you. And I believe it adds to what was said. It really chases off the last message. You know, it's interesting. I came here with probably a whole bunch of messages, but I had three messages, three or four that I was kind of thinking when I first got here. I laid them out, and these three, there were sort of the three that I couldn't have told you which one. And I looked at them, and it was almost like, maybe I just will have them upside down. I don't know. It made no sense to me as to how they ought to fall in the sense of things. And it just seems like this one was like, every one of them has been like a no-brainer. It's like God's given me this confirmation. And I believe this is a word of encouragement to our prayer life. You know, our prayer life.
Yes.
You know, the life that you talk about, sometimes as believers, we want to have Jesus come on into our life. He wants us to have His. He invites us to life, and it's found only in the place of prayer. You know, I thought that the scripture reference, and there's other places, but Mark 9:29, if you went there, you'd find this. You'd find the disciples trying to cast the devil out of a young boy, and they couldn't do it. How come they couldn't do it? They asked Jesus, what did He say? This time, Mark only says, this kind comes out by much prayer. We know much prayer and fasting goes along with it. But if you don't think about this, to dislodge the enemy. Speaks a great word about deliverance, doesn't it? Prayer. Prayer and deliverance. You really can't. The greatest deliverance is to be had in the place of prayer. You can't deduct it anything other than that. That the greatest deliverance to be had. It's like you said this morning, sometimes when we pray in a prayer language, a miracle takes place. It's a mystery happening. I don't know how that happens. But He gives us the love. You know, He wants to download. He wants to pour back unto us. From a place of an open heaven. I thought it's interesting that the word and the choice of, you know, this kind comes out by much prayer. So we know that God wants to bring change and He wants to dislodge the enemy, but He does it as a matter of practice in our life as believers when we come to enter into that place. Because it's a place of real power that He wants us to find. Let's just pray for you. Lord, thank you that your place, Lord, is a place, it's a seat of rest and repose. We thank you it's a place, Lord, of rest where we can contemplate and reflect on all of your goodness. Lord, we thank you that you help you want to slow us down at times to come to a place of rest, really at all times, to just have our peace in you, to have our understanding in you. Thank you, Lord, for the place of prayer affords us that. Thank you for the benefits that are there, Lord, with you, where you are. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your seat, Lord, there in the heavens. And that, Lord, you made a way with an open heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit to communicate with us. You who are spirit, to communicate with us, Lord, in these names. So we just bless you and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer hastens the promise. I may make a few quotes that might be worth writing out. Prayer hastens the promise and changes the outcome of things. What's important practice? Since the beginning of this year, just pretty much every message that we've met for in our fellowship has just been on prayer. And I intend this to continue on with that as much, you know what I'm saying, as long as the Lord have us there. But that's where we're there, just to encourage. Because we need to, you know, our problem is because we didn't pray enough. We need to pray more. I've been reading Ian Miles, and I think he would say that's the nature of the problem. We didn't pray enough. Our praying lacked fervency. it lacked knowledge and insight in how to pray. When we pray, we prayed amiss. Not that we didn't pray correctly, but you know, he saw a lacking. You know, I think that's the reason he wrote what he did. But when I think about prayer, I think about a couple of places. You know, that prayer hastens the promise and changes the outcome of things. Why? Well, why is that? Because it's the place of an open heaven. It's the place of an open heaven. That's why it changes the outcome of events in your life and mine. That's why it has the potential to change the outcome of things, because it's the place of an open heaven where God makes promises. It is the place. I thought about that, and I didn't really intend to go here, although I was thinking about Jacob and Esau, you know, when he's about to meet Esau for the second time. He's really nervous. He hears Esau's coming with 400 men. Something bad's about to happen. So he starts breaking everybody up in companies and sending them on out ahead. He's really worried. He spends all night in prayer, we know that. Or he spends that night wrestling. You know, he wrestles with God. That's where he gets the name family. But before that, well, the place where before he sets out on his journey from the first time, as he goes up to be, you know, with his mother's people, up that way, he goes out and he wrestles. And he has a dream. You know the dream. It's Jacob's ladder. He sees people. Let's look at that real quick. It's in Genesis 28. And dream 28:12. And he had a dream, and behold, the ladder. We're going back, okay? He had a dream, and behold, the ladder was set on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, God of Isaac, and the land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants." He goes on and says, "Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know the presence of God in this place." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place?" You know that place? He says, "This place is none other." And now get what he says. "This place is none other than the house of God." And what did Jesus say about his house? The house of prayer. It's to be a house of prayer. Why? That house of prayer is an open heaven where God makes promises to you, and that's why we ought to engage it. He makes promises to you and me. You know, sometimes we can just name it, claim it, pick one that sounds good, pick one that, and I'm not saying God never worked through that. Likely does and will and has. However, I believe God wants to make promises to you and me. Right where we are, where we're grappling with things, it's important to pray through those things, because in that place of prayer is a place where He makes promises to us. It's a place where God promises His house. And in so doing, He reveals His arm of strength. He reveals Himself. You know, what was all that striving? What was all that doing? Go ahead to Genesis. Let's look at the other place. Genesis 32. So we know Jacob's on his return trip now. Now he's worried about Esau. He hears Esau's coming with 400 men. And he says this. Look at 32:11. Genesis 32:11. He's concerned. He hears he's coming with 400 men. How's he going to escape? And he says, "Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother." He beseeches God, "From the hand of Esau, for I fear him. He will come and attack me and the mothers with the children. For you said, he reminds God of what he said. "For you said, I will surely prosper you and make your descendants as the sand of the sea." That sounds like the same promise he made to Abraham. I'm carrying that forward. Isn't that right? You think God, in a place of prayer, wants to make those same promises to you? I don't think anything's changed. If you're the seed of Abraham, if you're his offspring, descendants by faith, the father of our faith. I mean, God wants to make those same promises to you, and likely there ain't anybody else where you live. You're about too many folks. You know, when you think of the grand scheme of things, there ain't a whole lot of folks. You're hearing the message he's saying, "I want you to follow me." In the place of prayer, you know, he wants to use you. He wants to speak those same promises to you. "For you said, I will surely multiply, prosper you, and make your descendants as the sand of the sea," which is too great to be known. He sends everyone forward, and then he stays back where he's at night. Verse 24 says, "And Jacob was left alone, and the man wrestled with him all day." A man wrestled with him all day until daybreak. Wrestled with him all night until daybreak. Verse 26, I'm skipping a little bit. Then he said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." And he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." He said, Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, who strove with God and with men, and prevailed. Verse 30. So Jacob named that place Peniel, for he said, I've seen God face to face, and yet my life has been preserved. You know, from you could say from God's house to God's face, a place of prayer. From God's house to God's face. The place of prayer is a place from God's house to God's face. And He wants to reveal Himself. You know, you can say, it's sort of a little play on words about what I thought. And I'm not just trying to be clever. I mean, it's true. I believe it's the truth based on this word. I know it is. That the place of prayer is not just a game changer, it's a name changer. We wanted to change our game. Oh, help me in this thing. And it's change the situation. Change the outcome of the game. He says, you won't change your name. I don't do that first. Because when I change your name, I can change your address. I can change where you're living, who you're living for. Now, prayer changes where we're living and who we're living for. I don't know about you, that's the source of all my problems. Yeah. Sometimes not. That's a real revelation. I love the way Nicky put that there. We want Jesus to come and sit at our table. We want to be part of what we're part of my life. You know how absurd is that? We want Jesus to be part of our life. Put the necklace on, wear it around. We can identify with Jesus. He wanted to change every part of us. He wanted to change everything, and all we offered Him was a Lucky Charm or a bumper sticker or some other thing. We wanted to identify with Him. He's trying to identify with us and make us completely. Whole name change, He asked for us. Prayer changes our name. It changes our game. It changes everything. You know, that's the part I'm trying to communicate. His wrestling all night was not just a... It really did change the outcome of that. See if you see, it says, then Jacob lifted up his eyes. He sent everyone out ahead. He kept sending them out in waves. He said, here are these gifts. Perhaps if I send a gift ahead, it'll allay my fears. And he was sending out those ahead with a gift. And then Jacob lifted his eyes, chapter 33, verse 1. He looked and behold, Esau was coming, 400 men with him. So he divided the children among them. And it says, look at verse 4. Then Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him and wept. You know, I don't believe if he hadn't spent the night in prayer, if he hadn't had his name changed, I believe he would be in prayer. Now you can say, oh well, you know, think whatever you want. But I believe God changed his name so he could change the outcome of events.
Yes.
Prayer changes the outcome of things. See, this is important. You know, we can't. Prayer changes the outcome. I want to read something to you. I've been reading from Ian Bounds. There's probably a book here. I encourage you to get that book. Most of you probably heard about it or read it. But it almost reads like one of these real, real deep devotional. You get about two pages at a time. It's about a lot of length. It's pretty deep. You know, I'd go back and reread sometimes. You know, listen to what he says about prayer. Why it's so important. It's a really blessing. Prayer is far-reaching in its influence and worldwide in its effects. It affects all men. It affects them everywhere. It affects them in all things. It touches man's interest in time and eternity. It lays hold upon God and moves him to interfere in the affairs of earth. It moves the angels to minister to men in this life. It restrains and defeats the devil and his schemes to ruin man. Prayer goes everywhere and lays its hand upon everything. That's why we should pray. You know, I remind you here, it restrains and defeats the devil and his schemes to ruin man. That was the first message we heard. Man wants to ruin your life. Wants to ruin your life with deception, discouragement, cloud our judgment, and prayer corrects all of that. You know, the Spirit of God wants to rectify all of that. When we pray, it's important. It says this in 2 Chronicles. You can go there. You don't have to go there. It says this: the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout all the earth. He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. I'll read it now. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. We've heard messages about giving Him your whole heart. Being completely His, but if that be the case, God's work moving in our heart, He's been stirring in our heart to do that very thing. The Word says He's looking, His eyes are looking for somebody He can show Himself strong to. That's you and me when we pray. The it says in 1 Peter 3:12. Let me read that to you. You can look it up. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayer. It speaks about purity, about turning away from evil before that. Seeking peace and pursue it. And then he says, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayer. You know, he's looking to show Himself to be the strong arm in our life. You know, sometimes we're dealing with the defeat of the devil. Jesus says, I'm offering you my strong arm. I've given my Holy Spirit to you, but I won't be afraid. And you can't have it if you don't pray. I believe that's why it's so important. I believe that's why it's so important, because I believe what's to be had is you know, really what Mickey was saying. You know, the open heaven. What is that? That's a place of prayer. If it's anything, it's a place of prayer. It's the Holy Spirit. Or you got no, what you got is your own voice if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Your prayers are sort of hitting them. God, where are you? You know? I used to pastor with a guy. He said, sometimes I'd be doing really good, and I'd jump out of bed, and no sooner my feet hit the floor. But no sooner my feet hit the floor, I'd say, God, where are you? I was experiencing it, and all of a sudden, where are you? We desperately need the work of this Holy Spirit. Yes. We need to appreciate the Holy Spirit and the work, the mystery that He wants to bring to us. You know, something He said about, I heard a guy say a long time ago, that He was instrumental in my life in receiving the baptism. He said that. You know, sometimes people, so many people, they get the baptism. Praise God. They got it. They got the gift. They got it. Never speak again. Never speak again. Or maybe in a meeting, they get all charged up. They speak again. Yeah. Or once in a while, they didn't wait for that. It's so that you and I might find a place of prayer where we find our life supercharged by His glory. Our life is made better from having a stronger bond of a greater communion with Him, so that when we get out there, we got something. It's been well founded, well bound together. It's just sort of this erratic kind of thing given to emotion. He didn't want us to feedback our emotions. He didn't want us to be just going off on our own emotion. He wants soundness in our life, and that only comes from a place of prayer. That's what I'm getting. Prayer changes my outlook. It changes my outlook. Look, my son and I, we spent some time here a few weeks back. He just got out of college. He was looking for work. You pray that God helps him find a job, find the place he needs to be. He's looking to find it out. We were talking about this thing and that thing. You know, fathers and sometimes, well, you know, I don't know if I agree with that. You know, we kind of, well, I think this, well, I think that. You know, my opinion, you know, the bottom line is, it doesn't matter what I think. I'm the most opinionated person in this room. I got the most opinion. You know, what is all that? You know, if you're not careful, that'll turn into a big self-righteous thing, because you and I know the truth. If you're not careful, you just get real self-righteous all of a sudden, as though you know the truth. But knowledge of the truth without the place of prayer breeds some pretty bad things.
Yes.
You know, it's not for the ongoing where God wants us to be. He wants to change my outlook, to take what I think of just my opinion and help me to know the truth. It makes me free. It not just makes me free, it makes other people free. I find sometimes my words set somebody's jaw, makes them angry. You know, God help me to know the truth and speak the truth. He has truth for me in spite of what I think. And He's in a place of prayer. Prayer changes my outlook. It's the point of what I'm trying to communicate. Failure to pray. I wrote this down. Failure to pray is an invitation to deception. It's an invitation to a deceptive spirit. It just is. Because you're working off the truth, you know, and that truth is, you know, Jesus is the truth. He's the way. We have come into contact with the new and the living. All we got is just the kind of the letter of things. You know, it's kind of like a map. It grows stale. And He wants to make it fresh through an open heaven, a place of prayer. It changed my outlook. It's better when we can honestly, it's good to share our heart, but it's better to have a well-balanced mind. Only comes as a place of prayer. He says, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but it's the love of power. I like the way the New Living puts it. A love, power, discipline, sound mind. The New Living puts it this way. Well, a well-balanced mind. I like that. A well-balanced mind. It's been tempered. The truth that we know has been tempered by the presence of God. The truth that we read is tempered. You know what I thought of? I think that's when I think of the Spirit of God, I think of this Word that you and I can just read the Word. You know, it's easier to read the Word. I said this to people. It's easier to develop a regimen of getting up and reading the Word and Bible studying and drawing lines in your book and writing notes. It's easy to do that. Easier to do that than it is to get on your knees and pray. You mark that down in your book.
Yes.
It's true. You know why? Because the Word's black and white. It can go in one ear and out the other. But it's when I pray, the Spirit of God connects me. It's like this. I bought a computer program one time on my computer. And all these programs were there. I tried to access them. I couldn't get them. None. Not until I connected to the internet. I went to the website, paid the money, or whatever the cost was. Or I went to the cost, and I considered the cost. Boom. They unlocked it just like that. All of a sudden, everything started working. Well, why was that? You know, I think that's like this Word.
Yes.
Prayer connects this Word to our heart and causes everything to come alive. Out of the living Word. He wants it to make it alive to us, and He does it when we pray. He wants to change my outlook. I want to read something to you if I can do this with one hand. This is kind of an interesting thing for me here. I used to hold it. He says this. He says our victory, victory is gained at last in the place of prayer. His name, His nature are changed. Speaking of Jacob, His name and nature are changed. He becomes a new and different man. Jacob himself is safe, first of all. And he is blessed in his life and his soul, but more still is accomplished. Esau undergoes a radical change of mind. He who came forth with hate and revenge in his heart against his own brother, seeking Jacob's destruction, is strangely and wonderfully affected. And he has changed, and his whole attitude towards his brother becomes radically different. When the two brothers meet, love takes the place of fear and hate, and they vie for each other and show true brotherly affection. And I read that, and I may read from it again. I'm sorry, it was long about that. I had a hard time finding it. But the point is that prayer changes the outlook of things. It changes the outcome. And we need that. Sometimes our prayers are two people. That's what I tend to read. Our prayers are two people. It says this, our prayers are too little, two people to execute the purposes of the claim. Proclaim the promises of God with appropriating power. You know, balance, notice sometimes when we pray, our prayers are two people. In other words, they're not fervent enough, perhaps. And I said something the other day we were gathered to pray on Wednesday night. I said, you know, we can pray for a few minutes here and go on about our business, or we can learn to listen to God. We can learn to tarry in His presence, and we can learn to, or we're not going to hear what God's saying with the mind of the Spirit. So we need to kind of just, you know, be patient. Wait on God. If we learn to wait on God, He'll show. Prayer changes my outlook, but prayer also executes the promises of God. So it's important for me to pray. It's important for me to pray with fervency. It's important for me to pray with consistency, because prayer does execute the promise of God. 1 John says that Jesus is our advocate. You know, you could say that prayer is a place of meeting with our legal counsel. 1 John 2. He affirms Jesus as the advocate, the lawyer, if you will. He's our lawyer in God's courtroom, is the picture there. Prayer executes the promises of God. That we know in prayer, because we've just seen that. Prayer is an open heaven, and it's a place where God makes promises. It's a place where He changes our outlook, and it's a place where He executes the promise. He made you remember Jacob's initial prayer that when he's about to meet Esau, he's praying to God. He says, "You made promises to me. You said, you promised. I remind you of what you said to me. I remember what you said." Prayer reminds God of what He said, the promises that He will not fail to execute when we pray. You know, sometimes we're looking for something to happen. We're looking for God to do something. How many of us for years at times? Look for God. I can't tell you sometimes I look for God, do something, and I fail to pray. I fail to pray to see God bring it about. How can you expect to win the case when you never consult with counsel? Even think of the absurdity of that. You know, we're expecting to win the case, see the devil's defeat, but we never really consult with counsel. Oh, we read the Word, but are we praying? Are we consulting with counsel? Jesus, who is the truth, He's the truth. He never loses in God's courtroom. That's why we ought to consult with Him. He knows the way. He knows the end of the song. Jesus, He's the answer. He's our answer. I forget how that full song is what I'm saying. He's the answer. It's true. He's our answer. He's our only hope. He's the only one who knows how to win in God's courtroom. We need to consult with Him. We need to come forward with the truth. And stop trying to plead our own case. We're in danger of losing. We start pleading our own case. We need His counsel. We need the work of the Holy Spirit. Consider Jacob again. His prayer set in motion what God did for him. His prayer had his name changed. It set into motion the promise of Abraham when he prayed. Set into motion the promise of Abraham when he prayed. When he wrestled, here's the point of the purpose. It was all night to God. It was all night he wrestled in that place. Sometimes we're too quick to give up. We're too quick. I remember one time I went to pray. And we were at church up in Maine. We were all going to pray. We spent the whole night praying. Okay, we'll sleep back there. And we thought we were going to spend all night praying. We're sleeping back there. I thought it was maybe just a big slumber party. You know, we prayed a little bit. And we just ate a little bit. Slept a little bit. And I think it's more to the point where we take it more serious, like life and death. And there was a pastor from Ghana once that came and he shared with our group and he said they spent all night in prayer because the soldiers were out in the street. The military coup coming through town. They had guns. We didn't know what was going to happen. We prayed all night. How about that? It's perfect. We might have been fervency. You know, I think that's coming to the city real close. You're not too far from now. God's going to need people. I think that's why he's saying, you're hearing his words. He's calling you. You may say, well, he wants to use somebody else. No, he wants to use you because you're here hearing this message. You're going to likely go someplace else. You know, if I could see a map where everybody scattered when we left here, where they'd all go, I dare say there probably wouldn't be two of you within two. There's going to be some distance. I'd like to see what that looked like on a map. That's the beauty of this place. You know, when we're on something, that's the beauty of this place. God bless this place. He can come all over looking for God to do something. I think that's why God shows up. Because people are looking for God. I wish sometimes I'd be on church with more people looking for God to do something. I can promise you on any given Sunday, something more would be about to happen. When people come looking. But sometimes we just kind of looking the same old deal, just trying to get through. I've been there. Trying to do the same old four songs. Doing the same old four ways. You know what I'm saying? God, help us to break free. The Spirit of God in open heaven is the opportunity to break free. What He wants to do. To give us a new outlook. And so that we can see that by faith and by the Holy Spirit and His power, He can promise those promises to be set in motion and executed. Executed. He knows how to execute the document. He knows how to make it happen. He knows how to put it into motion when you and I don't really like it or understand it. I don't know why we think we can consult with man. You know? Someone told me the other day, somebody said it at and said there was a preacher at some point. He didn't do it anymore, but he started counseling. And I heard another guy. I said, yeah, I know another guy. So he went and got our counseling to deal. I guess, you know, people, I'm thinking, well, I said, you know, people don't want to talk to a pastor. You know, I guess they would rather pay somebody $150 an hour than they get for free. You know what I mean? Sometimes we got places we don't want to hear. I don't want to hear that. I mean, that's just the Bible. I mean, give me something, really. You know, give me something. Really, I mean, you know what I'm saying. I'm not saying there aren't helps, but hey, the Word. What about the Word? You leave that out, you got a big mess. You got a big mess. Because the lie is everywhere you look. We need a well-balanced mind. Look, the prayer offers us a place of well-balanced thinking. You know, I saw something that you could say that I think what we're trying to do is promote balanced thinking. I think that's probably their aim. I think there's great deception. I always get a cup of coffee, I look down, a cup of coffee, a cup. And it was something, looked like a yoga deal, looked like some kind of a... Somebody looked like they were wadded up there, kind of in a yoga thing, like they were kind of, you know, trying to promote some kind of takeoff on a yoga. And they said, well, steep your soul. Yeah. Oprah got involved. So steep your soul. There was a website you could go to. What sounds like a bunch of messing up? Doesn't sound like anything like the truth. The lie is everywhere. The lie is being promoted everywhere. The lie is life without Jesus. The lies is life without this Word. The lies thinking you and I are going to get it if we don't pray. If we don't get it, in a place of prayer with an open heaven, we're not going to get it. We'll receive the lie and not the truth. And God wants the truth for us. God wants us to promote and us to be purveyors of the truth. Prayer produces the truth. Prayer produces the truth of what I think. It takes me merely from away from what I think so that I deal honestly with my counsel. You know, you say, well, if you've done this and you've done that, well, you know, it didn't sound like that was anything too good or too... But the truth is, the truth is the truth. And when we tell the truth to counsel, now he knows how to win the case. You know, if you don't tell the truth, and you got to tell the truth, when you tell the truth to counsel, he knows how to win it. He knows how to cover in God's court. He knows how to cover in God's courtroom. He wants to produce the truth. He said, we're guilty as charged, but with Jesus pleading our case, we're connected to him, and the truth will prevail. He always wins in God's courtroom. He always wins in God's courtroom. I read you that quote. I won't read it again. I want to read something to you that my wife had said to me the other day. It was about the time people were celebrating this Easter and resurrection. You know, someone said something to us, but it was talking about the cross. And you know, the seven last words of Jesus on the cross made a statement about some things, and that he stated some things, and I just want. Seven things. Seven reflections on the last words of Jesus. The last words he spoke, there's some things that they reflect the truth that they reflect. You know? I thought of that song, you know, about this time. I thought of this song that Jesus, he arose the victor. Know him, he arose the victor from dark domain. He lives forever with his saints to reign. So he arose. That's the point I want to get to. He arose. He arose, and the word says he lives at the right hand of God to intercede for you and me. What do you suppose he wants you to be connected with where he's at? If we can get in touch with his line of thinking, he's going to help us. He says the seven reflections of the last words of Jesus on the cross, they ministered to me. I didn't even think, well, I don't know how this applies, but the Holy Spirit will make a connection. He says the first thing that Jesus is to forgive others. Father, forgive them. Forgive others. You know the last words. Forgive others. He told the people on the cross, you're going to be with me in paradise. Second idea, heaven is for real. We don't believe heaven's for real sometimes. We live in it here now. Instead of believing, heaven's for real. Sometimes I think, you know, we're defeated because we don't believe the devil's for real. We don't believe some things. We don't believe some spiritual concepts like well, the devil is for real. He's looking to destroy. He's looking to deceive. Heaven is for real, and God's wanting us for real to come to where it is, to come to his line of thinking, which is found only by the Spirit in the Lord of heaven. Anybody? See, I'm close, you're not going to pick up anything. You just going to read words. Without the open heaven, you just read words. Because if he's exceeded, and he's only worshipped by Spirit, then we only come by his means in order to gain anything from him. Heaven is for real. He says, care for your parents. You say, well, you don't know my parents. Care for your parents. Pray for your parents. That may be all you can do is pray for them. Pray for them. Love them. Love them to do your best. Maybe you got to do your best not to speak your own ideas in your own mind. Maybe just pray for them and let God give you a word, a revelation, a prayer. Praying for a divine appointment for someone to touch their life. You know, I believe if he touches you to pray for him, I believe he's bound to do something. If he's interested in his parents, he told John to behold his mother. Is that right? Take care of your parents. He took care of business right there at the cross. Behold your mother, woman, your son. Take care of your parents. Do you think he would tell you, or he would set that kind of example and not say for you to do the same thing if you prayed and think he wouldn't save your family? Sometimes we just not believe he will. Sometimes we think God can, but we don't believe he will. We think he can, but we don't believe he will. That says something. That faith and just what we think are two different things. They can be connected, but not necessarily. He says the fourth thing, express your heart to God. Jesus cried out. He cried out. Even on the cross is a picture of communication with the Heavenly Father. Express your heart to God. Be thirsty for living water, he said, I thirst. Don't give up, he said, it's finished. Finish it. Don't give up. God's telling you not to give up. You may say, well, you don't know what I've been through, and I can't shake this or that. Hey, don't give up. Continue to press through. Jesus knows your case. He knows everything about you. He has that little shred of truth that you've missed. You know what I'm saying? It's like the inspector trying to crack a big case, and it's one piece of evidence they left out. You ever look for his car keys or something? You look everywhere. You spent days looking. You look. I can't find it. You know what I'm saying? It's only sometimes when you're willing to give up to a place of rest, all of a sudden it becomes clearly apparent. Or it just comes out of nowhere. Jesus says that one piece of evidence that your case requires. You're about to give up. He says, not another piece of evidence that will set you free. Hang with me. Don't give up. Finish. And place your life in God's hands. Isn't that what Jesus did? I commit. Lord, I commit. Don't you think that Jesus did everything at a point where he felt forsaken? Why are you forsaking me, God? I don't commit my spirit to you. You know, I think what was real as a man had to be the human thinking, God, you forsaken me. I mean, everything is. You know what I'm saying? Everything you've done has been done. I think the enemy's probably still lying on the cross. Don't you imagine he's still doing a case, trying to work a number? You know? I commit my spirit to you. Lord, I know who you are in spite of what I see. What was the little thing?
I consider.
In spite of what I see, Lord. They're spitting on me, hurling abuse. This don't look like salvation. But Lord, I'm committing my spirit to you because I know you can change things. Don't give up. God says, I want you to commit yourself to me. I want you to commit your case to me. I want you to come to me because I'm a strong arm and my eyes are looking to show myself strong with someone whose heart's all right. One other scripture and then we'll close. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8. Kind of along about verse 31, I think. We'll pick it up there and just read. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who's against us? You know, I woke up with that revelation depressed and some of my thinking. And that occurred to me later on. Why are we so upset? Why are we so bothered? Why are we so troubled when God is for us? He's for us. He's looking for us just to commune with Him, fellowship with Him, and get in the place of rest where He is and trust Him. He's saying, trust me. And don't consider what you see. Trust me. Trust me. It says, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up, He delivered Him over for us all. He delivered Him over for us all. Now, those of you who have kids, wonder what that looked like. Wonder what agony you'd be in to deliver your son, your daughter, over for the sake of everyone else. For the sake of others. He delivered Him over for the sake of us all. How will He not also with Him freely give us all things? I love that. He did all that. And how is it that he doesn't want to show himself strong? He wants your heart to be right because he does in fact show himself strong. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus, He who died. Yes, rather, He who was raised, who sat at the right hand of God and who also intercedes for us. He was raised. So points of note just from that scripture, what I want you to take away from that. He lives. He lives. So should you. He lives, so should you. He lives to make intercession, so He wants you and me to pray so that we might come into what He's thinking about us, how His thoughts are toward you, how His eyes are toward you, to show Himself strong toward you when the enemy is telling you something else. He lives, so should you. He triumphed, so where's your victory? Why are you living in defeat? Why are your thoughts defeated? Why are your needs defeated? I think they're defeated because we're failing to pray. Because a place of prayer promotes a great change. It really promotes a miracle. It promotes a miracle. It changes what we see. The fact that we can look at what we see, and I'm not talking about just being a denier to say, oh, you know, just not denying the obvious and stand out there in front of the car or, you know, the car get run over by the car. Oh, it's not a car. I don't think he's not after just being wacky, crazy. He's after a sound, well-balanced mind. So that in spite of what I know with all my education, so to speak, and what I know about life, and what I see, still somehow there's something, a quality He's brought change to my thinking and an outlook that says, you know what, I don't care what I say, I'm trusting God. God, I'm committing myself to you no matter what. Like Jacob, like Job. Does that matter? Lord, I think sometimes that's the real rub with us. We hadn't gotten to the place where it just doesn't matter. We hadn't gotten to the place because there are too many other things that just matter. We hadn't gotten to the place where it doesn't matter. Your life is all I have. Your life is all I know. Your life, not mine. Oh, I'm still trying to add you to my life. That's the problem. You know, I think that's a problem. I think of some things sometimes we can't get something to move. And a lot of it is we still want our life there. We still thinking I've got it all. And God said, I just want you to come to a place of complete service. When you do that, you're going to just stop thinking. You're going to stop running your motor. You're going to stop arguing with God. You're going to stop trying to plead your own case. If you keep pleading your own case, you'll have a fool for a client. Quit pleading your own case. Jesus is the only one that can plead your case. Jesus wants us to come to that place of prayer. He triumphs, so should you. He sits at the right hand of God. You get that? That you take that from that scripture. He sits at the right hand of God. He also intercedes. He sits, the last two things. He sits and he intercedes. He sits. You're his resting. He's your resting place. Place of quietness. He's wanting us to get it. He's our place of quietness. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. I'm so troubled. Sometimes you're just so troubled. Just sit down and say, God, why? Why am I so troubled? Why am I so... Usually we don't know. But he sits. So should you. He sits in a lonely place. He sits at God's right hand. But, you know, Jesus was in a lonely place. And here on this earth, he was in a lonely place. Sometimes we're too busy running around looking for somebody who's got the answer for us. You know when it comes to God's economy and spiritual matters, you're not going to find anybody who won't have an answer for you. Find some folks in the body of Christ. Some, few, probably you a number. But you run all over looking for an answer. He says, hey, I had it for you before you ever got past the front door. I had the answer right here. I just want to give it to you, but you got to come to me and wait on me. He sits and the word says that he intercedes. That means he pleads. He pleads for you and me. He pleads for your life. He pleads over your disappointments. He pleads over your bondage. He pleads over your lack of liberty. Here we are, there's too much bondage in the land of liberty. Too much bondage in the land of liberty. Yeah, that's true, even believers. We're in a land of liberty. People running around free, I'm free, I'm free. We ain't free. Got too many things hanging on us. We're not free. But God says he pleads for your liberty. He pleads for us. I mean, when you think about he sits at God's right hand interceding for you, you know you. You know the things you've been through. What do you think he's pleading for? To those whose hearts are right toward him, to whom he can show himself strong. He's pleading. It's bigger than you can get your mind around. We need to pray so that we can see it. He's bigger than what you can get your little mind around. We've got to pray. We've got to have an open heaven so the Spirit of God can cause us to see things we wouldn't otherwise see. I close with this question. You know, how are you? He's alive so you can live. He intercedes for you so you can be strong. So how are you showing your gratitude? He lives for us. So how are we showing our gratitude? And we had some people over our house the other few weeks back. We had a couple of birthdays. My wife's got twin sisters, so we were having some birthdays. We had some family over, so I always leave me, you know, running around trying to fix everything up. And I had this place on the back porch there. I had these little table and chairs. This table and chairs Mom had for years, and she gave it to us years ago. Neat little iron table and chairs, real small little table, round table, perfect size table on the back here. We live in the woods, and so we're kind of backed up to these trees. I fixed it all up, painted it, and stained it, and got it all. I mean, got everything really looking good. I was going around the house, and I looked back, and I thought, you know, that'd be a pretty, because the weather was really nice that time of year. It's just real this time of year. A month or so ago. Everything's pleasant. Oh, man, that would be such a wonderful place to sit. Just to sit. Maybe have a quiet night. I thought, you know, I'm all the time running around up there on property looking for another little place. Like another little place. We've got a deck on the back of the place where we meet for church so we can have some fellowship out there. I kind of fixed up this little place. One says, you know, maybe I'll appreciate the place you got and slow down and stop. You might go back there and sit there and enjoy that, but you can never enjoy it because you're always busy running and never really showing the gratefulness and never appreciating, you know, that spot that he's giving you all away. You're looking for the next new spot. Isn't that the way? Isn't that the society we live in? We're always looking for the new thing. We're always looking for the new thing to give us the lease on life, as opposed to recognize he's given us life. He says, I just want you to pray. I want you to call on me. How are you showing your gratitude? You know, sometimes it's easier for me just to complain. You know, isn't it easier for the nature of your flesh to complain and grumble instead of showing gratitude, instead of being appreciative, God wants us to hear His voice, and the stillness I can hear His voice. And the stillness I can hear His voice. I thought, and I am close here. You know, God's looking for a few, He's looking for a few men and women right where you are. I said that earlier, to carry forth His promise. You know, His eyes are running to and fro over all the earth so He can show Himself strong to someone. That someone's you and me. I want to hear that. You know, I think God is trying to speak some things very, very clearly and significantly. I heard last night in the midst of a strong word, I heard some love and compassion there. I got forth in one of the last things that was shared. Just how God, be merciful to your people. God, have mercy on your people. Oh, God, we err by judgment. We err to spreading our ways. But God, be merciful to your people. I mean, that means that we have those last time. That's what I believe was there. That God is, there's a well-balanced thing that God's trying to do. He wants to speak correctly and truthfully to us, speak the truth to our ignorance. And He also wants to temper it by His love and His affection and His care for us. And how He's saying, I want you. I'm looking for a few good men, a few good women, right, likely right where you live. Because there's probably not too many other folks willing to take up on that call. God says, I want you. My eyes are looking upon you. It's just the way I want to close, and I want just to leave this in a prayer that the Lord would impart to us a desire for more Him, a place of prayer. That God would begin to show us an open heaven and us to apply our heart to yield to the Holy Spirit, to listen to the Holy Spirit, to listen more attentively to the Holy Spirit, because if the Holy Spirit, if we're going to pray, it's going to be that way only. It's the only means of connection. God wants us to pray. Just because we pray doesn't necessarily, really, we're not praying. If we're not praying in the Holy Spirit, we're not praying. If God wants us to, we're not connecting. God wants us to connect with Him. So, I want us to stand and ask the Lord to impart to us a desire. As I told you a number of months back, I just began asking God for that, and He just, it's like He dropped it in my spirit, my heart. It's like gave. You ever get God just do something for you? He just gave you a gift. Impart. I think that's what I'm looking, we're asking for God to do. God impart a new desire, a new impression, just to come and commune with you and to find that little spot somewhere. The little spot that I've been neglecting, the little spot. I had the little spot, it's been right there. I've had the spot. But I failed to really have regard for the work of the Holy Spirit in that little spot that might connect me to do something that it becomes peace within my four walls. Holy ground right there where I stand. I ain't got to travel too far. It's right there. God wants to bring that. Lord, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for a people, Lord, who believe in the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, impart desire. We're asking really for you to impart attention. Lord, we thank you that what you do by the Spirit. That means that you do that. You make what you make without hands. Not that you don't use hands, but Lord, I believe you're able to drop it right in our spirit and our heart. When we ask, when we pray for your Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, we ask you today that you come in the open heaven and download us and fill us and cause us to overflow, Lord. Lord, we're asking for that. We're asking and continue asking, Lord, that you might give us an impartation of a new, improved desire for you. Lord, we can't create that. We can't create desire. You do. But we ask you, Lord, give us a desire. Jesus said, I thirst. Jesus desired for your presence. He desired for your presence so much he was willing to commit himself when everything looked darkest. We thank you, Lord, that he lives. He's calling us to life. We thank you that your prayer calls us up. Prayer calls us up to life. Prayer calls us up to where you are. Prayer calls us up to live where you're living, think like what you're thinking, Lord, and to execute your plans perfectly when we've been messing up. Lord Jesus, help execute your plan through our life because you give us a desire to pray. We ask you for that. We ask you for the sweetness of your presence. I pray that it would get sweeter. Pray that it would gain on us. Pray that it would grow on us. Pray that it would look good on us. Lord, we thank you for that. Your word talks about a garland of grace. We thank you that you have clothes for us. You have raiment, garments. They're addressed and put on. Prepared and put on when we pray. So Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the garments. We thank you that we have your identity. We can have your life and we can live your life. We don't have to live our life, Lord, through the lie of the enemy. We live in truth. So, Lord, we bless you and we thank you and we ask you again, give us desire, an increased desire. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for these people. Thank you for every heart, Lord, that says, Lord, I need more of you. We ask you for more of your life, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.